Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks. We thank you for your love and kindness and for your tender mercies. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who knew no sin but became sin unto death and on the cross. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you for this Easter season as we remember that we are Easter people because Jesus is no longer on the cross. He lives, and because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because we know he holds the future, and we know that he holds our hands. We thank God. And so, Lord God, we know you're among us by your Holy Spirit. Speak now to us a word of hope, a word of love, a word of peace, a word of joy. Speak, Lord, for we are listening. And take hold of me, the preacher, and put me under submission to your holy will. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen and amen. Are we excited? Yeah, because Jesus is risen. Right? Jesus is risen. Do we believe it? Do we not believe it? Hope of after the crucifixion is a little thing I read, and it says, the Good Friday service in Dampara Baptist Church, Chittagong, Bangladesh, was packed. You know, Bangladesh is the place I'm trying to get to one of these days. Anybody who knows me know I'm planning to go to Bangladesh. I don't know why, but maybe that's where the Lord is going to send me. Little children sat on the floor in the aisles and across the front of the church. Rows of people stood in the back, craning their necks to see the crucifixion scene as depicted in the Jesus film. Weeping and gasp of unbelief could be heard in the shocked hush as Jesus was crucified. As the Bengalis watched, they were feeling the agony of Jesus' pain and the disappointment of the disciples. In that emotional moment, one young boy in the crowded church suddenly cried out, "Don't be afraid. He gets up again. I saw it before." A small boy's encouraging cry gave new hope to the viewers of the film. "He is risen," is the cry that gives new hope to all. He's risen. One little boy in a church would cry out, "I've seen it. He gets up again." Ah, the disciples would not know that he would get up again. Amen? We know the story of Thomas. We think we know it so well, right? The story of Thomas. They called him Doubting Thomas, but really, that's not his name. He's Thomas. And we're more like Thomas than anybody else, any of the disciples. We're more like Thomas. And we know what had happened. All the disciples, except for John, did not stay around. Judas had died. John was at the cross with Mary. Remember Jesus saying to John, "Here's your mother," and to Mary, "Here's your son." So John was at the cross. The rest of the disciples were running and hiding. They were scared, worried, because the Romans were coming on them, down on them hard, capturing and killing. I would be running myself, I would imagine. Everybody wants to say they would be at the cross. But who knows where we would be, right? Who knows? Only God knows our heart. Everyone wants, I'd be at the cross, at the foot of the cross, and as the soldiers come, I'd be there holding on to the cross. I want to believe that I would do that, but who knows? I probably would have opened up my big mouth and it would have killed me already. that was would be more likely. I'd be telling off the soldiers and it'd be over for me. But anyhow, we know what based on my my makeup, so to speak, my unchristian makeup, I'd be fighting them, you know, getting up my fist up, and they'd be for Jesus. And so here we are, they're now in a room, and they're locked in the room, you know, they're locked themselves in the room because they don't want to get out, they don't want anybody to get in, right? They don't want anyone to get in. They're still worried and still scared, right, about the soldiers, because they're roaming the streets. I could imagine the soldiers are looking for, all the followers of Jesus. And could you imagine what happened? We heard it in the text. Jesus came through the door, the closed door, right? Could you imagine? I don't know how they didn't have a heart attack or something, right? But they were used to miracles. And they were used to Jesus. They remember they saw Jesus raising the dead. And if you could raise the dead, raise Lazarus from the dead and the widow of Nain's son from the dead, if you could do that, and, you know, Jairus' daughter, if you could do those things and heal people, you certainly can walk through a door, right? Because a door is nothing for you. And they were so surprised they couldn't say much. And they were so happy to see Jesus. But Thomas was not there. And Thomas said, no, unless I see it. What, in essence, Thomas was saying, he was what? He'd been disappointed. Didn't say those words. He saw, he had heard what they did to him on the cross. He didn't see it, but he saw the beatings and saw all of that. He says, unless I could put my hand in his, you know, these wounds in his hand, and put my hand in his side, I won't believe. I've always kind of have a dream or a wish that Jesus would show up one day to me, and all I would need is that I'm not going crazy, would have to see his hand, right? All I would need, I would say, just to see his hand and his feet, right? So that I would know it's Jesus and I'm not losing my mind. You know, like it would show up when I'm praying one day. Sometimes when I come in here and I'm praying and I'm looking at this thing, I said, Jesus, can't you just show up? Show up now, right? But one still has to believe by faith. Anyway, you see, I love this inquisitive nature and his demand for evidence of Thomas. Right? He wanted evidence. It wasn't because he was all that bad, right? Next slide. Please. Here was Thomas stuck between, you know, doubt and belief. Right? Doubt and belief. Because Thomas was a believer. Thomas may have even been one of the boldest apostles. Because when Jesus announced to his disciples earlier in John 11 that he was going to Judea, they tried to stop him. And yet Thomas was not dissuaded. That's earlier. People tend to forget that about Thomas. Thomas, he boldly proclaimed, "Let us also go that we may die with him." You read that in John 11, 16. That's what Thomas had said earlier, right? He was very bold. He says, let us go, let us follow him so we could die with him. And it is said, and we know that to be true, that Thomas may have been the first to evangelize India and died there as a martyr. So in Thomas' character was something very solid and sound. Right? Thomas is the man that this real inquisitive spirit that we should look at and we could learn from. Next slide. Doubt. Definition of doubt from the Webster Dictionary. Doubt is a feeling of uncertainty or lack of conviction. Doubt is a feeling of uncertainty, right? When you have doubt, you're uncertain. You don't quite know or lack of conviction. And the definition of unbelief is the incredulity or skepticism, especially in matters of religious faith. That is the difference between doubt and unbelief, right? Doubt does not mean that you don't believe, right? You still believe even though you may doubt. We've all been in circumstances, situation where we who believe in God, you say to yourself, God, why does this little baby die? Huh? Doesn't mean you don't believe. When I went out to St. Jude's Hospital, I remember many years ago, because I support them, and they sent me out to come out to see the hospital. And I walked the floors, and I saw little babies with little tubes all over them. That moment I said, oh, Lord God, why did that have to happen to them? Doesn't mean that I don't believe in God. But that moment, why God? Not really expecting an answer. Unbelief is complete skepticism, right? You don't want to hear it. It doesn't go that way. You don't believe it. It is unbelief. Now, next slide. Sermon title is From Doubt to Life. First point. You can't have faith without questions. Friends, those of us who have faith have questions. Many of the Jewish people who were in the Holocaust will tell you. The many of them had faith in God, they had faith in Yahweh, the God of Israel, but they had many questions. Right? We who are believers have questions. Why would all the churches, so many churches in Ukraine get destroyed and hospitals with baby die? We have questions. So you can't have faith without questions. Because if you believe in something, you really believe, you will have questions. Because it doesn't always go the exact way you want it to go. Doesn't mean that you stop believing. But it means that you have what? Questions. Number two. For example, I want to say something else about number point one. You see, this is true for the simple reason that God has chosen to keep secrets. We don't know everything about God. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. But the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children. God reveals certain things to us, and God does not reveal certain things to us. And by faith, we still have to believe. We ought to. So you can't have faith without questions. Second point. You can only doubt what you already believe. You can only doubt what you already believe. Because if you didn't believe it, there's no doubt. You don't believe it, you don't believe it, you don't care. Right? If I don't believe that I can walk on the moon, or that I could, you know, swim to the moon, there's no question there. But when you believe something, that's when you have your doubts, when things doesn't happen the way you want it to happen. The songwriter says, because we walk by faith and not by sight. We don't see the answer, but we believe. That's the great part. What did Jesus say to Thomas? Blessed are those who do what? Didn't see, but believe. Right? Blessed are those who didn't see, but they believe. That means they had their doubts. Every disciple, they had their doubt. That's why they were locked in that room. If they didn't have their doubt, they would have been at the cross, the foot of the cross. And so we have our doubts. Doubt is not the absence of faith. Doubt is the questioning of faith. It is not the absence. Sometimes we beat ourselves up because we may have a little doubt, and we're acting as if God doesn't know our hearts. God knows our hearts and knows what we're thinking. What we say out of our mouth is irrelevant to God. God knows our heart, deep in our heart. I could stand here and tell you that, you know, I'm such a But I've had my moment. I've had my moment. My brother died and I had my moment. Lord, why didn't you? I prayed and prayed. We prayed and prayed. But your will be done. We've all had it. Your will be done. And we who are in parts of prayer team and so on, we pray for people and we pray and we pray and we pray and we pray. And God takes them home. And we say, your will be done, God. Doesn't mean that we stop believing. Bishop Bickerton got up and buried his father, who had a long life, and he stood there, and as he preached, tears were coming to his eyes. That doesn't mean that he stopped believing in God. He has believed in God for 60-something years all his life. Doesn't mean that you don't get to a point, because you're hoping that person you're praying for, you're hoping that they live here. You want them to live here. You know that there's eternal life, but when you're praying for them, you want them to live here. Amen? So it's okay. So doubt is not the absence of faith. Doubt is the questioning of faith. You can only doubt what you already believe. Said that already. When a Christian doubts, he or she fears God may not exist. When we doubt, sometimes we get into doubt and we say, does God exist? And then in a minute we say, that doesn't make sense. There's a difference. As our mind, the Christian believes, he said, the Christian believes there is a God. And when he or she doubts, you begin to question what you believe. Next point, 3. Doubt and unbelief is different. Doubt and unbelief is different. It is important to grasp the difference between doubt and unbelief. Doubt is questioning what you believe, said that already. Unbelief is a determined refusal to believe. Unbelief is a determined refusal to believe. I will not believe. I am not going to believe that thing about God. I'll tell you what happened when I was in England last time, this time here. And as we got on the buses, they knew that we were Christians. We had our own bus, you know, because we're going to John Wesley's journey. And we had a driver for one day, I might have said it to you. We had a driver for one day. We had other drivers with us all the way, and they were Christians. So we had this driver for one day, and as he's coming up, we're going on the bus because we have to go up and come off. So I said to him, coming down, I said, oh, you know, we'll see when we come back and the Lord will take care of you. God bless you. And he said to me, I don't believe. I'm an atheist. And I'm an agnostic, he's telling me. I said, it doesn't matter. God still loves you. So he says, you think so? I said, yes. Whether you receive it or not, was a white dude with a British accent. So we had gone into the church. We had gone to service. So they dropped us off and they had to pick us back up. And we had 2 services that day. Oh, we were in such pain sitting on those old wooden seats from John Wesley's time, whoever's time. But we had 2 services. So when we are coming out, you know, he's talking to me. The bishop says, so you get yourself involved. So I get to get into the bus and he said, how did that work out? You know that, because I told him I'm going to talk to Jesus about him. He says, how did that work out? I says, Jesus says he loves you. And he started to laugh. He says, oh, you think so? I says, yes, he does. But he had made up his mind. Or maybe he was just joshing us because we're Christians. But he had made up his mind. He's not going to believe. That is the difference, you see. Unbelief is a determined refusal to believe. Check it in the dictionary. Right? Doubt is a struggle faced by believers, right? We struggle with God, right? We struggle and we try to figure it out. Unbelief involves spiritual blindness and a determined resistance to God. But God isn't giving up on us, you know. I'm going to get to that. Unbelief involves spiritual blindness and a determined resistance to God. There are folks who are determined to resist God, no matter what. They could hear a beautiful song about God, and it touches their heart, or a beautiful sermon, or the scriptures read, or see a baby born. You know that beautiful song, right? I believe in every drop of rain that falls and whatever, whatever. And it doesn't matter. They'll take beautiful rides and see a lovely horizon and go places and see and says, look at this creation. And they'll say, no, it came together with a big bang. Or whatever they choose to believe, right? There's a resistance. And so we see that happen. Apostle Paul said when he persecuted believers, he said, Paul says, I acted in ignorance and unbelief. I could not understand the truth, and I was deeply resistant to the truth. Apostle Paul. My fourth point is, you can help someone by discerning the difference. You can help someone discern the difference between doubt and unbelief. And who did that? Who did that in the text? Jesus did. He came back for Thomas, didn't he? Jesus knew that Thomas was only a doubt. He knew that Thomas was a believer because Thomas was going to die for him already. So Jesus what? Helped him to discern. Jesus came back and says, Thomas, come here. Come here. I know you want to see something. But I know that you are a believer deep in your heart. And I know you want to see. Why don't you just touch my side? Huh? He's always asking us to what? Touch his side on earth. Put your hands in the nail in my hand. Why don't you just do it? Trust me, he's saying. Let go and let God. Let go and let God. Just let go. So that you could live your life and live it more abundantly. It's not worth it living and tied up in doubt. And oftentimes we who are people who are unbelievers, you just love them through it. You keep praying for them. You don't have to pray for them in their face, but you on your knees in your prayer closet, pray for them. Keep praying for them. Because one day you don't know what God will do. You may not live to see it, but you may see it from heaven. Because God is like that. Next slide. And so, friends, was Thomas only a doubter? No. Calling Thomas a doubter implies that doubt is opposed to faith. In reality, there are many people who believe amidst doubts, myself included. Many people, in the midst of their doubts, they still believe. And those are some of the deep, deep Christians who, when they can't get it, can't understand why it happens, they still believe in God. They say God is going to turn it around somehow. I don't quite get it. I don't know why it happened. I don't like that it happens. They says God will not give you more than you can bear. I always say to God, God, I've borne enough. I said, God, you didn't get me confused with anybody else because I can't bear anymore. Amen. God, but I am trusting in you. Amen? Amen. Number two, calling Thomas a doubter implies that implies the certainty is required for belief. Being certain is not required for belief. Right? Then aren't we implying that people with doubts don't genuinely believe either? We don't have to be certain. Did I see Jesus walk here on earth? Did you see him walk here on earth? No. But we believe. Right? Were we at the foot of the cross? No. But we believe. Those of us who believe. Amen? Right? Did we see Jesus born of Mary? But we believe. I mean, I hope we believe something because we're in church. Friends, right? Did you see him take bread and break it and multiply it over 5,000? Show your hand if anybody saw it. But we believe. Do you believe it or you don't believe it? Now, come on now, friends. You know what? Did you see them nail him to the cross? But we believe. He says about him coming out of the tomb. Did we see it? But we believe. We believe by faith. We believe. that Jesus is Lord. Amen? And so, friends, from doubt to life, as I come to an end. How do we go from doubt to life? Because you don't want to live with that uncertainty, and it brings on unhappiness. Number one, realize doubt is often the birth pangs of deepened faith. Do you know when you're doubting and doubting, guess what? You're getting ready for labor. It's the birth pangs. Do you know what I'm saying? When you're doubting and doubting all the time, it is because you're reading and something is happening to you. You know when you get birth pangs, you don't know when the baby's going to come. All the mothers, you don't know when it's going to happen. But doubt is like what? The birth pangs of deepening faith. You study the Bible, you read the Bible, and things, you say, is this true? Is this not true? It is the birth pangs. It's the Holy Spirit trying to bring you into labor. Don't know how long the labor is going to take, but that is what is happening, the birth pangs of deepening faith. Number two, friends, from doubt to life, be ready to live with mystery. We're not going to know everything about God. God is omnipotent. God is omnipresent. Right? God is Alpha and Omega. We're not going to know everything about God. It's not possible. It's not, you could think it till you're blue, we're not going to know it. Number three, live according to the faith you still have. One of the worst things folks do is trying to compare their faith with somebody else. Don't compare your faith to mine. Don't compare your faith to anybody, because you do not know what people are going through. What we show here, or what you show here, have nothing to do with reality. Right? Because we all struggle at night, struggle at day, struggle with all kind of things. So you live according to the faith you still have. God knows where you are. God knows what you're going through. And God is the one who is working in you and through you by His Holy Spirit. Number four, doubt is not unbelief. Again, doubt is the bridge that connects current faith to perfect faith. Current faith to perfect. And look what Thomas did. When Thomas saw that hand, I'm praying for some folks who don't believe or say they don't believe. Because when Thomas saw that hand and that feet, what did he say? My Lord and my God. I want everybody that I know that don't believe that one day they'll have that experience, whatever way it will come to, and it will say, my Lord and my God. Because the Lord will show up for them. Amen?
Amen.
So be like Thomas. Next slide, friends. And I always say, as I found this, doubters welcome. Because we're welcome into the presence of God. All of us. God is not measuring our degree of doubt. He's not saying, Marjorie, my daughter, a 0.001 of doubt, and Amy has 15% of doubt. That's not our God. So everybody is welcome. Because we all have degrees of doubt. Some point in our lives or other. And my next slide says, because he knows my name. He knows your name. He knows my name. He knows everything about us. He knows what we're struggling with. And he loved us anyhow. When he died on the cross, there were doubters, there were believers, there were in-betweens, there were those who didn't know. Yet he died on the cross anyhow for us. And the scripture tells us, last slide, it says, and truly Jesus did many more things in the presence of his disciples which are not written in this book. Many more things that will probably have us believe. It's not written in this book. Amen?
Amen.
You know, there's a little song that I'm trying to remember the words as I come to an end now. And it says, there are some things. You remember, do you know that song? I think I got the tune. Let me see if I could get the tune. You know that I'm bold. There are some things I may not know. There are some places I cannot go. But I am sure of this one thing. My God is real, for I can feel him deep within. You could join me in the chorus. My God is real, real in my soul. My God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. His love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. Some folks may doubt, some folks may scorn, or can go on and leave me alone. But as for me, I'll take God's part. My God is real, for I can feel him in my heart. Can you feel him in your heart? My God is real, real in my soul. My God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. His love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel God in my soul. I cannot tell just how you felt when Jesus took all your sins away. But since that day, yes, since that hour, God has been real, for I can feel his holy power. Hallelujah. My God is real, real in my soul. My God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. His love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. Amen. God is real. And so like Thomas, we say, my Lord and my God. Amen. Amen.